Okay.
Everybody so today mute. I'm broadcasting from outdoors. more thanks to my my not knowing the area more so than anything else. So I got a little bit lost on the way. So hence I just stopped at a park bench. I realized the time. So my apologies. So over the last couple of days, I'm sure hopefully everybody's doing nothing on their own. But in case you haven't, let me give you a quick summary. So we had started talking about a new parak, question of if you happen to have been placed outside of the Tchum, meaning you normally you have 2,000 amot around where you resided, and that is your allowed area for for Shabbos or Yom Tov. You have your Tchum. So the question is, what happens when you have left your Tchum? All right, when you've left your designated area, you're supposed to be after Shabbat or Yom Tov, then you get placed outside of it, what happens? So the default is that if you're removed, you end up getting only the four amot surrounding where you have to be at that moment, and that's it. So we started discussing cases of where you might get more, such as the case of a boat, or the case of where non-Jews had forcibly removed you and brought you some other place. Then we started discussing questions if you went there intentionally or unintentionally. And now we're talking. So the last thing we're talking about, the case of a boat, there was a machloket between between Gamliel and Riosh versus everybody else. In fact, there was a story where they were all on the boat together, and Rabbi Gamliel walked the whole boat, whereas everybody else simply stayed in their location. So then the question was, the mission also mentioned, did they really hold of that, or were they simply being machmir? So it appears that they were being machmir, not necessarily they were so convinced by that being the case. So now we are continuing. And then we got to a case of where somebody is residing in a bik'ah, meaning they're in a valley. And the question is, then what is the case in that circumstance? So I apologize if everybody can't see me. Just when you're on mobile, you can either I can be looking at the Gemara or I can be looking at you. So unfortunately, I can't do it at the same time. So please, if I don't see your hand being raised, just shout it out, and then I'll be able to answer your questions. Okay. So the last couple lines on Amabet. Rabbi Zera, my time with Omar Karaba. So the question is, why did Rabbi Zera not agree with the opinion of Rabbah, who is saying that in regards to the boat, that it considers to be valid walls? So why would you disagree and say that you might allow for walls when a non-Jew built them around you when you're in a valley, but you wouldn't count walls for the boat? So I'm looking at because the difference there that when the non-Jews made the walls in the valley, they did because they wanted to make walls. But in this case, not they wanted to make walls, rather they wanted to basically, in order to float, you need walls. So not they really wanted there to be walls, just like in order to flood into the walls, that's what happened. So it's more of an accidental instance, and therefore the walls, you could say the case is different between the case of a boat versus the case of where you're in a valley and non-Jews suddenly build walls around you. Rabbi my time alo amar krabi zera, from halefet. So why does Rabbi not agree with the zera in the case of a boat that's moving? So kuliyama lo pligi, keep pligi bishamda. You're right, everybody agrees that when the boat's moving, that you have no choice, and therefore you should be, and therefore you shouldn't have to be stuck to your dalama, because basically as the boat keeps moving, it's completely impossible for you actually to be in the correct location in your dalama, because your dalama are constantly moving as the boat moves. So since there's no way if you've been in the right place anyways, so therefore we'll let you, get the whole boat because. Otherwise, you'd be every moment in violation, and that's not possible because it's against your will. So we don't say that. Okay, so let me know if this. I'm gonna try and share a diagram. Please let me know if this works. Okay. I'm sharing my screen now. So. Never mind, that's not quite working. Okay. Never mind, that didn't work. Okay. My apologies. Is there a way for... Nope, looks like it's not letting me do it. Never mind. Okay, I tried. So as you guys are on a boat, let's say you had your 2,000 amot. So you'd see that basically as the boat's moving, wherever the tchum had been, it's a moving target. You're a moving target versus opposed to the tchum. So wherever your tchum may have been, you will constantly be moving beyond where your previous thought amot were, and that would create a problem. But if you're stationary, that's when it comes into effect, because if you were to drop anchor in the middle of the ocean, because the tail may have been moving, but now you're finally stationary. So, okay. So now we've established the case. So now that we've dealt with that in regards to moving or not. So Amar Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak, Manid Nami Deka. So that actually, Rav Nachman says you could have put this up in the mission itself. The Malach at Lo Pligi, that they're not, that they wouldn't argue about when it's moving. Well, I mean, my Mitani Maaseh Shabbat, we pound the Rasin, we Fligas, we Natam, Bayam, Ramil, Rabbi Lazar, Benazaria, Halsuit, Kulaf, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva, Lo Zazu, me Arba Amot, Sharasu, Lachbir, Alasman. So the question is, what was this case in the Mishnah? We said that, where we had Ramil, Rabbi Lazar, Benazaria walking the whole thing, where Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Kiva didn't move. So, so what's the case where it's moving? Because if not, they wouldn't have been arguing. And that's why. So why do they keep to the Dalat Amot as opposed to, you know, not moving at all, which is what you really should have been doing if you're really afraid? Rather, they were just worried that any moment it would stop. So therefore, because they were afraid it would stop at any moment, therefore they treated it at all times as if it had stopped moving, but not they actually thought that it had stopped moving. Hopefully that's clear, because basically they were being machmir on the chance that it might move, not because at the moment there's any actual problem. El Iamart Ligi, hi Ratzil Hachmir Isuru. So, and if you want to say that they really argued about Kisa Malachet, you should have said the word the Mishnah shouldn't use is clear, right? They should have said Isur. They wouldn't have said Ratzil Hachmir because it's not Ratzil Hachmir. You think it's actually Usur. So you wouldn't say lahafwir. You'd have said that they think it's usher. The fact they said that it's lahafwir means that they don't really think that it was usher. Ravashi manid nami deka. So Ravashi says you lose out the mission as well. Diktani seifa dumia deder v'sohar. So Ravashi says you could infer this in the mission itself based on the latter half of the Mishnah, referring to because it starts talking about a boat. So we're also saying the boat is compared to the case of the pen in the stable where the non-Jews forcibly dropped you off there. So Majir was so hard to be Afina Namik Dukriya, just like the pen or the stable walls will be established your place of residence. So too the boat, which is moved against your will also establish place of residence. So Amar Lai Ravaka Bray Dharava Dharvashi. So then Ravaka son of Rava told Dharvashi, Hilkata Kam Gamliya Basfina Vilkata Mikwal Dapligi. So Ravaka, the son of Rava, told Ravashi that the halakha called the Gamliel by boat. But if we're saying that, that would imply that in general there is a argument about a boat, not that we always agree with it. So, Ian, that's the case. Right, they do disagree. So Hatanya, but is this really the case? Then we learn another bright to the Hananya. Omer, Kolot to Hayom Yeshua Dano Bidvar Halacha, Emes Yishriyaki Abba Halacha Gamliel Besina Longer Rikiva Bidir Sohar. You're right. That's true. But he's really learned in the Brayta that while all these Tanahim were on the boat, they were discussing what should halacha be. And that evening, so Rav Ashi, who is the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, said they decided to pass and that all of them together passed in regards to a Sfina HaMelech on a moving boat, you can walk with the whole thing. They also concluded that the halakha could be a keep in regards to a case where non-Jews removed you, place you into Fenner Stable, you only get Dalat Amot, and the same would apply to case where your boat is not moving. Okay. Vayi Rav Chananya. So now Rav Chananya asks a question. Yesh. Again, this is also relating to a boat. Yesh chumen l'mal mesara, or ain chumen l'mal mesara. So do you have a tchum when you're above 10 amot, or only when you're below 10 amot? Right? So, so then, does it apply above 10 amot or not? Because a lot of times when you're on a boat, you could very well be where you're above 10 amot. So now we're clarifying with other cases. So amot gavoa asara barakav arba lo tibayla the ara smichbihi. So you can't really argue based, like, bring a proof based on what we mentioned before about low posts, about there being posts in Rosh Hashanah. That is 10 shvachim tall, considered to be its own separate rishos. So we say that's not considered to be a valid case at all. Because that post is relying, is resting on the ground, and that's what would create, and that would create a problem in this case. So Kiti Bailuk Amud Gavoa Sara, the Inner Rock of Arba, Yinami Kabul Kisha. So rather, that's not a case because that post is considered, is valid on the side, is considered to be its own separate rishus, and therefore that's why you wouldn't have to worry about going to the same degree, because that could be your place of residence. The question is, what if you're on a post that is less than 4x4, so therefore it's considered to be a makom tor, it's considered to be a place where you are technically exempt from it's not quite Rosh Hashanah, it's not quite Rosh Hashanah, it's considered to be a place of exemption. What then? So and then we say, so that could be the question. Inami, or the case could possibly be where if you wanted to try and walk between the various posts by jumping. So therefore you're never actually dropping below 10 shvachim the whole time, and therefore you're never actually in an area where you would be considering something system, and therefore you'd be fine. So right, so that's why they had to be taught, and that's where the case comes out. So Lishna Farina, another version of the Pirus Lema is Bispina Mai. So the case in regards to a boat, right? Because when a boat is sailing over the water, so do we consider the boat to be a separate area? Because the boat itself is 10, let's say if the where you are in the boat is 10 above the water, or is it that you're 10 above the seabed or the riverbed? So how does that work, right? How does Tzkumen work with boats? Somewhere in Hoshaya. Tashma. So Rishaya comes up and springs. Let's try and figure this out. So Masa Jabob meets upon Darsin. The fleet of Sinatam Bayam Bakule. So he quotes the story we quoted earlier about the four Tanaim on the boat and how some of them moved around and some of them did not move around. So Iyamar Pishlamal Yeshkumen Mishum Haki Ratsu. If you want to say that if you say Tzkumen doesn't apply, if you say Tzkumen applies, that makes a lot of sense why they want to be Makware themselves. Ella Iyamar ain't Tzkumen on my Ratsu. But if you want to say there's no Tzkumen, there's a Tzkumen above 10 Tzkumen above the ground, and the boat is presumably 10 Tzkumen above the water level or above the seabed, then why would you say they wanted to be Makri? Like, what are they Makri for then? So, could Amaraba, rather, it's where it's according to the case of you as Rava states, Malaka Barakat. Basically, when they're moving through shallow, swampy water, therefore, they're always within 10 handbreadths of the seabed. And therefore, Tzkumen would apply Hakanami, but Malaka Barakat. Therefore, in our case also, we must be talking about a case of swampy water, which has a very shallow bottom, and that's why you're always within 10 Tzkumen above the actual ground. So that would imply that there is an issue of Tzkumen. And it's a Machloket based on the story we had in the Mishnah prior. Now, it's a touch point. I've been trying to figure this out, it's another proof. Also, a story that may sound familiar. Looked out and he determined that, oh, we're actually within the Tzkumen. Right? So one time they were on a boat on our Shabbos, and then they end up only arriving after Shabbos. So Megamil said that you're allowed to disembark because you're within the Tzkumen before Shabbos. So Iyamar Bishlama Yeshlomin Shapir. If we say that there is such a thing as Tzkumen when you're on the water, this makes a lot of sense. Because otherwise, Iyamar ain't Tzkumen, Kilo Hainu Betoch Tzkumen, my Habe. Because if otherwise, then Rabbi Gamliel's statement of, oh yeah, I checked and we're within the Tzkum means nothing, because who cares whether you're in the Tzkum or not if there's no Tzkum while you're on a boat? So what is it? So Amarabba Balakha Barakak. So Rabbi has his solution. Rather, with the case, it's where they're going through shallow, swampy water. And that's why, and that's also why it was relevant even for the case of when they were coming in after dark. Okay, so we're going to try again, because again, we still haven't just concluded how the argument goes. So, Tashma, Hane, Shav, Shmaya, Tzitzah. Zitmaran, Bashafra, Bashapta, Commander of Chesed Basurius. These are the seven teachings that were said before Chesed Surah. Vahadipanya Bashapta, Commander of Rabban Vedita. So these seven things were stated in front of Chesed Surah, and they're repeated at the end of that Shabbos before Rabban Vedita, even though the distance is too far between the two. So the question is, how could they have had this circumstance happen? So, right, so basically there's seven teachings are taught in Surah, and then they're also repeated at the beginning of Shabbos and in the Shabbat morning, and then they're repeated in Sukkot Medita at the end of Shabbos. These are two cities in Babel, Sukkot Medita, the two of the greatest Torah centers. And they're saying that somehow they managed to have they both managed to have the same halakha taught in the same place, despite the fact that they're very far apart. So, Amrinu, who's the one who says this? Love Elio. Amrinu, who's the one who goes to talk both halakha both places? Rather, must have been Elio Navi. Alma, Inj, Zuman, Amal, Mesara. Lo, Jumi Yosef, Shida, Amrinu. No, so the answer is that no, one option, one option is that Elio Navi could have done it, because basically he could have magically, either he could have flown there or leapt there miraculously. So that's how he could have done the trick. Or, and then therefore that would imply that there is nothing against swimming over 10 Tzvachim, because Elio Navi, of course, wouldn't violate Shabbos. Aldilma, no, he said Yosef Shida, Amrinu, it's Yosef the demon. So, let me see if there's any commentary explaining who Yosef the demon is. One moment. Nope. Okay. So I'm not sure that Yosef Ashida is an actual person or if he's an actual demon. But either way, he's somebody who's not observing Shabbos, and that's how I managed to get from place to place. Again, whether he's an actual demon or was simply a person who was viewed as a demon due to his actions, I will hopefully find the answer soon. But as of now, I don't know. Okay. So Tashma, Harini Nazir. Biyom Shaben David Ba. So now we're trying to see how the case goes in regards to again, have we been able to determine how the tone works? Which way do we do it? So again, we're still trying to figure this out. So let's keep going. So Arini Nazir Biyom Shaben David Ba, Utar Lishtot Yain, Bishabatod Yimitovim, Vaslishtot Yain, Kolimotachol. So if somebody were to have sworn that they are a nazir, they swear off all wine and going to and becoming tameh, then they are allowed to drink wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but they can't have wine during the rest of the week. So now we're going to try to figure out why is that. So Iyamart Bishlamal Yeshkumin Hanri Shabbatov Yom Tovim Utars. If you say there's an issue of flying. If you're above 10 Tzvachim, there's a problem. That explains why on Shabbos you're allowed to drink wine, because on those days Eliyahu Navi can't come because he wouldn't violate Shabbos or Yom Tov in order to get there. Eliyamart aims to come into Shabbos and Yom Tovim, am I mutar? But if you say there's other things in those cases, then on above 10 Tzvachim, and we know that Eliyahu Navi can do miraculous things such as flying. So then, how would you say that? Then why are you allowed to eat, drink wine on Shabbos Yom Tov? So Shaniat, no, there's different cases of Eliyahu Navi, and in terms of when Mashiach is going to come. The Amar Kra, Hine, Anokhi Shalei Lechem Et Yo Navi, V'Halawat Eliyahu Me'atzmo. Because as the Pasuk says, and Malachi says, behold, I'm sending to you Elijah the prophet, I am a God of Anara on the great and dreadful day. So this means that since this prophecy is talking about Eliyahu coming the day before the coming of Mashiach, therefore Mashiach did not come the day, on the day prior. So whether or not, which would mean that even though we don't necessarily know about Mashiach, whether it's ourselves or not, whatever, sure Eliyahu did it, and therefore we know that since you haven't heard of it yet, Eliyahu has not come yet, so therefore you'd still be allowed to have your wine on Shabbat and Yom Tov if you had made such a swear. Of course, you should not make such a swear, and that's why. And if you accidentally did, you should immediately be, try and be matir neder, as we, as many of us hopefully did on Erev Rosh Hashanah. If not, hopefully everyone will have a chance to do so prior to Yom Kippur, because that would definitely not be a fun way to spend. Because you would not want to put yourself in a situation where you are truly having sworn off of something, because it's considered to be, at least in this case, because it's very chamor, and it'll make it very difficult for you to say kiddush moving forward. Okay, so Ehafi, if that was the case, but if that's the case, right, so if you're saying that the day of the Mashiach comes, then every day you could argue that, well, that since I haven't heard of since Mashiach's not here today, that means that Eliyahu didn't come yesterday, and therefore I can drink wine today. No, so that's not really valid because Eliyahu Navi can't be everywhere at once. He is not God. He's a human being, despite many of the miraculous things he can do. Therefore, you could say maybe he showed up only managed yesterday to arrive in Beit Hakadosh, place the Sanhedrin is, and therefore they know, but no one else knows. So that, and therefore, it could be the circumstance of. Yeah, I know you already have arrived, despite you having no knowledge of said occurrence. So, in four moves to Glendale, Israel, Shinayo, Ba, Loba, Rishabata, Loba, Jim Tov, and Manatorea. No, but even so, we know that the actual reason why you're still allowed to have wine on Shabbat Yom Tov is because we have a Mesorah across the Jews that Eliyahu Navi will not come on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov because people don't have time to go out and greet him because they're too busy preparing for Yom Tov. So maybe you think that because Eliyahu has not come Erev Shabbat because of the trouble that Mashiach can't come on Erev Shabbos. So issue should be allowed. Eliyahu lo ati Mashiach ati. No, even though Eliyahu didn't come, Mashiach could still arrive. He came to ati Mashiach hakol avadim hein l'Yisrael. And the reason why we say Mashiach could come on Erev Shabbos is because once Mashiach comes, all non-Jews will be subservient to the Jews. And therefore you don't have to do work preparing for Shabbos because the non-Jews will very willingly do it for you. So whether that means literally they will be subservient or simply that they will, having recognized the greatness of God due to the manifestation of God in this world through Eliyahu and Navi, so that would be subject to debate. And personally, I'd be more inclined to being due to their recognizing of God than them actually being our definitive slaves, because that would be a very strange turn of events that would also lead to, we'll leave out the theological questions for later date. But either way, again, so it's possible for Mashiach to come on Erev Shabbos, Eliyahu could not. Because this whole thing is according to the opinion that Eliyahu and Mashiach are the same person. For more opinions on how that works out, that is a topic for another time. There's many different opinions as to how many, in terms of the eschaton, meaning the end of days and the arrival of Mashiach. The question is of how people are involved. The numbers range from 1 to 2 to 4 to even more than that. Again, for more on that, if people are interested, please let me know, and I'll be looking to share on it at another time. But for now, we will, or this is according to the opinion that there is, there's two people involved in the Yimot Mashiach, in the, you know, Day of the Salvation, where Mashiach comes. There's Eliyahu Navi, who's the herald, and then there's Mashiach ben David, and those are the two people we're referring to, and that's it. Again, there are many other opinions as to how that works, but that's what we have for now. Okay? Again, please, if anybody, if anything's unclear, please chime in. I'll not be able to see you, so please simply say it out loud. So now, based on this whole concept of Mashiach or Eliyahu Navi not coming on Shabbos, so we say b'chai b'shava lishterei l'shav minad. So then we should have also been allowed to drink wine then on Sunday. And therefore you would have known that there's nothing to swim in on above 10 tefachim. That every single Sunday you're allowed to drink wine, because you know that on Shabbos Eliyahu HaNavi didn't show up. So what must the case be in regards to the Tana teaching us about Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach's arrival? Hi Tana, Shavukim Misafkalei, Yiyesh Kulmin, Yiyin Kulmin, Uluchumra. Rather, what we should say is that the Tana is certain about the provision of Kulmin above 10, whether it applies or not on Shabbos. Therefore, he ruled strictly in regards to Sunday that you're not allowed to have have wine on Sundays because he wasn't sure about the case of Tzumin, and that's why the only day that's listed when you're allowed to drink wine when you've made such a swear is on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, Dekai, Ema Dekai Nadar. Wait, so what the question is, when does a person make this swear? So Ilema Dekai Bakol, Kim Dekale, Nizirun, Heki Acha Shapta, Makile. So now we've got another question. This is based on the general rules of making swears, as well as making Nazirite oaths, right? So again, Masechet Nazir or Masechet Shavuot, or Masechet Darim. So those three Masechet deal with that. Don't hope not to give anybody nightmares if they didn't let those Masechet were difficult. But again, that's what we're talking about now. So the question is, how could that have worked? How could you have a vow that went into effect then suddenly doesn't work on certain days of the week? How is that possible? Ella dekai v'shabta. Rather, it must be that he made this vow on Shabbos. V'kanadar or v'yom tov. V'kanadar v'hayom adeshari lei meichan v'elech asilei. So rather, it must be we're only talking about the case. Basically, somebody decided to become a nazir to swear off wine, and they decided to do this on Shabbat Yom Tov, and that's when it occurred, and that's when the case is talking about, is where you would just made that swear. But if you'd done so at a different time, that would not have been the case. Again, this only goes into effect because you said so, but if you had not, then this would not have worked out. Okay? All right, so what we dealt with there was the case of Tzumin above ten. So then a whole bunch of test cases as to whether or not the story would teach us about is there Tzumin above ten Tzumin or not, based on the case of the boat, based on the case of Eliyahu HaNavi. Then we discussed questions when Eliyahu HaNavi, when Mashiach can come, and how that relates to your swear. And then we finally, once we discussed that, then we realized that actually a lot of our discussion we missed the point. The question is, how could you have a swear that goes into effect and later goes out of being in effect? So now we finally have resolved our issue, and now we finally understand where precisely we are at. Okay? Everything clear before I start the next section? Or does anybody have any questions on what we've done so far? Okay, I'll take that as a everybody followed. All right. Okay. Again, chime in if you need if I miss anything, because I will not be able to see anybody raising their hands just due to the logistics of it. So Palm and Athat Ol Nitzul Ol Nabal. Right. So now we're back to the case of where they're on a boat and they get in only after, and then they only arrive at the shipyard after dark. And now the question is, they're allowed to get off the boat. They turn to Gamaliel and say, are we allowed to get off? And he says, yes, because we've actually already entered the Tzum before it got dark. I was checking. So, therefore you can rely on that. So Tana, Lindin, Abraita, Shofar, Hai, Talodur, Gamaliel, Shahayim, Mebit, Vesofa, Belpaim, Amma, Vyabasha, Ukenegda, Alpaim, Vyam. So how did he manage to figure this out? So the Brayza says we're going to land a special tube through which you can look and see this 2,000 amot on land, and also it also be accurate for him to determine 2,000 amot at sea. So basically, he had some sort of early telescoping device. Again, perhaps actually it worked. That's subject to debate, because but just simply because we're not entirely sure. We don't have any concrete evidence as to the use of the magnification devices in that time period. Mostly the magnification devices they had were consisted of water in a flask, which gave you two times magnification. How that would be precise enough for this, it's unclear. Other options you could have done based off of the star chart or angle of the sun. As we will hopefully see in a bit. Again, as far as the device is, I'm not sure historically we are so certain. If somebody happens to know more about that, please let me know. I simply am not entirely certain myself. So Harosa Leda Kama Omko Shelgai. So now we're talking about the ways of measuring distance. So what would he do? Maybe Shoferet, or maybe Ba Viada Kama Omko Shelgai. You can bring a similar tube, and then by looking at it, you'll know the depth of a valley as well. Again, how do these work? It most likely is done based off of the angle of the sun, but again, this is everything I'm saying is largely based on guesswork that I have heard from based on archaeologists who are trying to figure out how the people in the ancient world managed to create so precise measurements and holes and tunnels, despite the fact that they didn't really have modern technology. For instance, if anybody remembers when they're digging a patch or a mountain for the, I believe in the case of, so in Israel for the new train line. So they were trying to, they brought in a specimen from Germany, and they had, and they managed to be off by several feet because they drilled from both sides of the mountain and they just completely missed. Set them back several months and millions of dollars. Exact figures have escaped my mind for a moment. But on the other hand, we have, let's say, if everybody here has been to Cascadia tunnels, where they managed to do it over the span of a couple of months using just chisels, and managed to they managed to hit pretty much spot on, less than a meter, and they again also the same from two ends. So again, we don't fully understand the technology of how the mechanics of it work, but we'll do it based on the angles of the sun, and that's something we're talking about here. But again, precisely how the magic is so accurate, we are not entirely sure, because till this day we are unable to replicate this device that they have. Again, for more on this and other devices are similar to it, there's also people are interested. Again, please let me know, and I'll try to give a share on it. Technology, as it relates to Jewish history, various time periods, and how that affects or doesn't affect halacha, or focus where it came up. But let's leave it at that. That tangent was a little bit too long. My apologies. Okay. So, Harotze Leda. So, similarly, Harotze Leda, we talk about knowing the depth based on the tube. So, Harotze Leda, Kama Govho Shel Dekel. If you don't know how tall a palm tree is, Mojit, Komato, Vistelo, Vistelo, Komato, Viada, Kama Govho Shel Dekel. So, if you want to know the height of a palm tree, but you don't want to actually climb the tree to measure it, basically, you can measure your own height. And then measure the relative length of your own shadow, and then measure the height of the palm tree, and therefore proportionally you'll know the height of the palm tree. Okay, so then once we are now after having discussed measurements, we get to was covered in ants, so apologize for that brief. Yeah, there's a lot of ants there. Okay. Sorry about that. All right. Sorry. A little flustered there. Ants everywhere. Okay. All good. Really sorry about that. So, everybody can still hear me and follow me. Yes. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Just making sure. Okay, so we're talking about measurements. So we mentioned the case of how you can do it based on the
The angle of the sun?
On the Right, it's the angle of the sun and your and length of the shadows. So that might have been how the tube works. But again, for the precision of getting it to that 2,000 amot, so it's easier to do via starlight. I'm not during daylight. I'm not entirely sure how that method would have worked. Again, modern science is not quite sure how they'd have done it. If somebody knows, or if I find out, I will let you know. I don't know. Okay, so now what other Harot says. So this is one a little tangentially and not. But okay, so Harosa is related to shadows. So here we go. Harosa lota shrefaya ra betzel kever. So if somebody wants to make sure that a wild beast will not rest in the shade of a grave, so what should he do? Noit kane barba shaot abayom yira hechan silo nota moshpia ula moshpia yirid. So in order to, so if you want to prevent the animals from resting there, see where the shade will be at 4 hours into the day, and then that way you can slant. And then you can slant your gravestone at the right slope. That way there won't be shade at 4 hours into the day, and that way you will not have an issue of there being animals trying to get into the grave, and therefore the person's body will remain at rest, and there's no issues of beasts either lying there or attempting to, get at what's underneath the tombstone. Okay. Nathemia, Breda, Rabbi, Tanilai, Manshvatei, Shmadja. So one time, Rabbi Nathemia was so gross in his learning that he didn't, Vinafa, Kutsutum. He was so gross in his learning that he went outside the school. So Amar Lera, Festival of Nachman, Shrephysis, Rav Nachman, Nathemia, Tamitha, Shrivitzar. So the Rephysis then turned to Rav Nachman and said, notice that Nathemia went outside the school of Shabbat. How could you help him? So Amar Lera, so he said, here's the solution. Aslam Khita Shalbne Adam Vikane. To say get people who have sufficient tum to stand around him making a human wall, and therefore he would be allowed to re-enter the tum. Yati Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Asure the Rava, Yati Rava Kameh the Rav Nachman. So then Rav Nachman sat Bar Yitzchak sat behind Rava, and Rava sat in the middle row of Rav Nachman. So Omer Le Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Bar Rava, Maikum Bai Le Rav Chisda. Wait, so then we're asking why precisely did what's the problem that Rav Chisda was talking about that Rav Nachman's related for Nathemia? Like what's like you trying to figure out what exactly happened? Because I don't quite follow. So Elema Demalo Gavrioskinan. If you're referring to the case where the whole tomb could be filled with people. So the question he's asking. So maybe you should argue that we're talking the case of whether or not we follow Rabbi Gamliel or not, in regards to if you happen to be in an enclosure, and then do you get the whole walls or not. And so here we say that people could form the walls just like if an Andrew came could form the walls for you. So to here could form the walls for you. So, or we say that, again, like we were talking about the case about the deer and the sohar, about the pen and the stable, the walls work. So here, maybe it doesn't work. So the case where the people weren't fully filled, or weren't enough people to do so, and therefore you couldn't have made a wall around him to bring him back inside. And then the question was, is the fall like Rabbi Elazar or not? The question of, can you... enter from two Amot Asad Skomarat. Basically, so we'll probably end up on this note, and we'll continue on with the story about Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, as well as the which one it was tomorrow. But let me try and give him a full explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. This I'll put my face back on because this is outside, not really going to tomorrow. Okay, so we're going to do a little review about Shulman in general, and hopefully this will make things make sense again. Okay, so. We have the case of, so general, when we started off this parak, we were talking about cases of tum, meaning when somebody place has a place of residence, then from that place of residence, they get 2,000 amot that they're allowed to walk by foot, without a lot of carrying items within those 2,000 amot, but they're allowed to walk in that 2,000 amot, because that's their area that they are for Shabbat. or for Yom Tov. So then the question then became, what happens if you leave? So we said if you had willingly left the tzum, or it actually be removed from the tzum, you only get the dalat amot, the four cubits around you, which amounts to being roughly 2 meters, and that's all that you're allowed. So the question is, so then now we're reaching the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. What's his opinion? His opinion is that when you happen to be outside of the tzum and you draw your dalat amot, so they're drawn with you at the center of them. So what does that mean? That means that your dalat amot really means you get 2 amot in front, 2 amot all around you in a circle. So when that happens, that means that if you happen to be, when you left the tzum, you notice right away you're within 2 amot, roughly 1 meter of the tzum, right? Let's say you'd walk right past, you know, a lot of times they used to have tzum markers. If you're in any cities, people know that, like, you know, this is the edge of the city limits. So people would know if they're allowed to walk on Shabbat or Yom Tov. So when you cross that exact point, right, you finally realize, because let's say, you know, the ground changed. Let's say it went from being in it, like, you know, like you'll walk past like a little fence or something. You're like, oh no. So if you remembered within those first 2 amot, according to your leader, you're allowed to simply backtrack and go back inside, because when you redraw your dalat amot, it includes that as well, and therefore you'd be able to return. Okay. Okay, so let's see. Okay, so we got a minute and a half left, I think.
Where are you?
Right. We mentioned Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. We're the last line.
Sorry, are you where you are? Do you know where you are?
Oh, physically, I'm yes. on the sorry. I'm on the corner of Searle and I'm Wilmington.
Okay. So.
Yes, I know where I am. I just, like, I got turned around a bit because I was trying to take a scenic route, and then I, So, again, so just like the Gemara talking about how Nachedra has lost in his learning, so I was unfortunately lost in the beautiful views of Toronto, and then I got a little bit lost. So, luckily, it's not Shabbat Yom Tov, so I don't know about Tzum, but I'll hopefully be able to find my way as soon as when it starts to touch on me. Not to worry. I got some fresh air. So, thank God. Okay, so. All right, so again, quick sum of what we covered. So we started talking about issues of tzum, right, of the question of going a certain distance beyond the area, your area of residence on Shabbos. We spoke about the case of if somebody's on a boat, do the walls of the boat count as being walls or not? We spoke about the case if you're in a valley, do the walls of the valley count or not? We spoke about the case if you're in a boat or if you're in a location that's raised above the ground, above 10 tefachim, does tzum still apply above 10 tefachim? With a resolution in regards to both, we said, is like one of the cases where there'd be a machloket is that it must be where you're below 10 tefachim. That's why everybody would agree that's problematic, because if you're in very low, shallow waters, then you're actually close to 10 tefachim. But similarly, when you're above 10 tefachim, it appears that majority opinion is being that actually you don't have to worry about tzum, which would mean that if you happen to be on a boat on, and also we pass like we're going to be on a boat, which means that if somebody is on a boat, again, whether or not you're allowed to be on a boat or not on Shabbos is a much larger discussion for that, and as well as when you board it. Again, people are interested in a share on that topic on going on cruises on Shabbat. Please let me know, and I'm happy to present that topic. I'll mention it in brief when we cover here, but as far as the Chovah also goes, if you want more in-depth explanation, as well as also the Gemara for Shabbos, not just the Erevin, please let me know. And then lastly, the last topic that we were dealing with is in regards to somebody said have set up the walls artificially, or can you set up walls made of people in order to solve issues of swimming? And I hope everybody has an easy and meaningful fast today, and I will hopefully see everybody tomorrow.
Shukayach on the show for blowing as well, by the way, yesterday. Shukayach.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.